Welcome back. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Sound Effect on 88.5 KNKX. I'm Jennifer Wing. Today, we're sharing stories about people who are taking some pretty significant risks in order to reach a goal. And sometimes the risk of doing something might not be worth the reward. In fact, there might not be any reward. Only pain and suffering are guaranteed to follow. This can happen when we let our emotions take over and our thinking can get a little cloudy. Sound Effect producer Kevin Kniestad found himself in one of these situations. It happened inside a bar in a small town in the middle of Washington. Everything was going great for Kevin that day until a very famous young man entered the room.
I feel like I never, ever, ever get out of town. So when I do take some time off, I just want to relax. And the best way I know how to truly relax is to go camping. So this last Labor Day weekend, I went to this little tucked away bit of land in Salmon Lissac, Washington, a handful of miles away from Cle Elum. It was beautiful and perfect, even with a little bit of rain. As the weekend came to a close, my friends and I decided that on our way out of town, we'd make one last stop for a cocktail before facing the reality of heading back to work. So to enter or exit Salmon Lissac, you have to drive through the town of Roslyn, which has a population of about 900 people. It's also home to the historic Brick Saloon, which has been continually operating since 1889. It even still has the original 23-foot running water spittoon along the length of the bar. The perfect spot for one last libation before heading out of town. On this particular day, the Brick Saloon was busier than I assumed it might normally be, but by pure luck, right as we walked in, three seats at the bar opened up by the entrance, and we saddled up. I took that as a wonderful sign that this would be the perfect ending to a relaxing weekend. I sat between my two friends, filthy from camping, but I didn't care. While they were thrilled to have cell phone service again, I sat there silent, in kind of a rested daze, at peace with my whiskey, as customers came and went from the saloon entrance behind me. This part of the Brick Saloon was for ages 21 and older only, and the youthful appearance of a patron entering the building must have caught the eye of the bartender. "Can I see your ID?" she asked. Since my back was turned to the entrance, I couldn't see the person whose age she wanted to verify, but I could tell that this person wasn't breaking stride. And then he responded, "Google me. Google me? Google me." He said, "Google me." But the bartender didn't say a word, just sort of stood there with a blank look on her face. I turned to my bar stool to see this guy from behind, still not breaking stride, walking towards the pool tables in the back. Gray sweatshirt, white jeans, white high tops, short blondish brown hair, and tattoos on his neck. I turned back towards the bartender, who still looked a bit in shock. And then she said it. "I think that's Justin Bieber." Justin Bieber. Now, I have to tell you that I have always felt there's an especially warm place that entitled cocky young pop stars go when they die. And while I can't say that I know anything about his music, I think there might be a song where he says baby a lot in it. Everything I've ever heard or read about him sounded awful. Justin Bieber, the guy who was given a baby monkey and when he tried to take it into Germany with him and didn't have the proper paperwork, just left it there at the airport. Justin Bieber, the guy who allegedly shut down a major strip in Miami so he could drag race. Justin Bieber, the guy who kicked the Argentinian flag off the stage at one of his concerts in Argentina. Justin Bieber, the guy who urinated in a custodian's mop bucket. And many of you might remember his last trip to Seattle because he got a lot of press for it, for walking out on a $130 bar tab at a bar in Belltown. And on and on and on. And as it turned out, this was most certainly Justin Bieber in the flesh and blood. Patrons indeed Googled him, trying to see if the tattoos on his neck matched the ones in pictures of him online. They did. It was him. Now, has he ever done anything to me personally? No, but for him to stroll into a bar in the middle of nowhere on my last moments of vacation, I took that very personally. Was no place safe from arrogant, troublemaking pop stars? Why this place, in this small town, on the one weekend I get away? Why him? As he stood by the pool tables holding a pool stick behind his neck horizontally, with his arms sort of draped over on either end, this Jesus on the cross sort of posture, it became clear exactly what I needed to do. I was going to walk over to Justin Bieber and punch him right in the face. Now, I am not a violent man. I've never been in a fight, and I have never punched anyone in the face. I can't say that I've even really been tempted to. Not only that, but punching Justin Bieber in the face would have almost certainly landed me in jail, and I had to be on the air the next day, so it probably would have cost me my job, too. But I was overcome with an emotion that I have never felt before. It was as if I wasn't just going to punch Justin Bieber in the face for disrupting my last few moments of tranquility, but I'd be doing it for everyone out there that has seen or heard on TV some of the awful things that he has said or done and said to themselves, man, I'd really like to punch that guy in the face. And there are lots of people that want to punch Justin Bieber in the face. Google it. And here I was with that opportunity. I got up and I walked to the bathroom, deliberately walking right by him, just to see how high the adrenaline would get when I was that close. It was there. I could do this. After leaving the bathroom, I walked outside for some air, once again passing Bieber, who was now enjoying what appeared to be a taco salad. It was the moment of truth. My nerve was up. I just needed a sign to tell me either go do this or don't. And that sign came. As I stood outside, it hit me that the social media element to Bieber being here would probably kick in soon. And right as I completed that thought, I saw a girl who couldn't have been older than 14 bolting up the sidewalk and up to the door of the bar. While too young to enter the bar, she had her cell phone in hand, ready to take as many pictures as she could of the inside of the bar every time the door would open. Her eyes were wet. She was practically trembling. For better or for worse, Justin Bieber has brought joy to millions and millions of people. That song that I thought he sang where he said baby in it a lot, I looked it up and it's been viewed almost 1.5 billion times on YouTube. That's a little less than 5 views per person from every single person in the United States. So basically, me punching Justin Bieber in the face might make me the good guy to a few millions, but I would be the bad guy to a couple billion. And who, I ask of you out there, wants to be the bad guy to billions of people? I walked past the shrieking teen back inside the bar and took in the view of stardom for another couple moments. Young Bieber had clearly reached the limit on the amount of attention that he wanted to receive as he was turning down posing for pictures. That's one of his things now, by the way. No pictures with fans. Google it. Popped his hood over his head and passed me while heading for the door. There's this stigma that is often attached to misbehaved teenage rock stars, that they act this way because they never had real parenting or a real childhood, that they never got to develop normal social skills because they grew up on a tour bus and never had anybody real to talk to. I've never found that as a justifiable excuse for terrible behavior, but for a moment, as he walked out, he struck me as human. Before the door could shut behind him, the voice of a teenage female outside of the bar was heard yelling, "I love you, Justin!" "I love you too," he shouted back, before hopping in the back seat of a black SUV and disappearing into the Roslyn sunset. Justin Bieber fans refer to themselves as Beliebers. And I remain a staunch non-Belieber. But if your music can bring so much joy to one teenager, that it convinces one grown man not to punch an almost grown man in the face, then maybe there is a reason to believe after all. I don't know. Google it.
That essay from sound effect producer Kevin Kniestad.